be reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. God has made known to us that the mystery of his will, which is purposed in Christ to be put into effect, to bring unity all things in heaven and under earth, and earth under Christ.
Okay, one way or the other. There we are. I'm here. Are you? Good morning. It's good to be with you. Always privileged to hear from David and asked to come to be with you here in Glenpool. The opportunity is always a blessing to me and to my wife, and it's always a blessing to share God's word with you. You know, it never fails in regard to reading through Scripture that you always see something that catches your attention. And even as it catches your attention, it kind of makes you think a little bit deeper, go a little bit deeper regarding some things. And so I want to share a lesson with you that I've entitled The Unity of Heaven and Earth. And, you know, when I thought about that, I thought about the idea of there does not seem to be much compatibility between heaven and earth. And yet this passage speaks about the unity that really exists in that. You know, if you look at the news, you don't see that, do you? If you lie, a lot of times, if you listen in this world, you don't hear it in this world. But God had a purpose and an intent. And so he proposed that in regard to Jesus Christ. Look at this passage of Scripture and think about it with me. God made known to us the mystery of his will, meaning the idea that for a long time, we didn't know exactly what God was doing. And actually, through the Old Testament, the reflection of the idea of coming of Christ was always seen, particularly through the prophets. But now it says, he has made known to us which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I want to tell you that only God could have done that. Only God could actually have brought about this unity, this relationship between heaven and earth. And I also want to tell you, and you may be surprised as we go through this, that you are a reflection of that. Our lives is a reflection of that. In fact, when you go a little bit later, Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, make every effort to keep or maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's 4 points that I want to share with you. And the first one is that unity has already been established by God, by Jesus, and the Spirit into one body. He doesn't say the idea that you are to produce that, but that you are to keep that. You are to maintain that unity which God has brought about between heaven and earth. Now, when you sit and think about that for a little while, there's great responsibility there. You and I are a reflection of that unity. We are to maintain that unity as we live our lives upon the earth, and as we live our lives as a family in one body. The second point is that unity is maintained or kept through certain attitudes and actions. Now, when you get a little bit later on in regard to the book of Ephesians, you understand that it also deals with the idea of instruction or teaching. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all and through all. And so you have that reflection that's there, but that isn't where Paul begins. Paul actually begins with the idea of certain attitudes and actions in regard to our lives, a reflection of what is there. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Being completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." There is a lot that is said in that. The attitudes that really is a reflection there is the idea that we have been called by the gospel, yes. But being called by the gospel, we are to be completely humble and gentle. We are to be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's easy to say. It's easy to say. Did you notice that God made us with different personalities? There's a collection in regard to the idea of counseling or philosophy or whatever regarding mankind, that there is an A-type personality that just is domineering. It is out there. It presses its issues upon us. And then there is a personality that's called melancholy. It's the idea of just taking it easy, making peace, and all those type of things. And oftentimes, those two personalities don't mix. It's kind of like Noah and the ark, right? What are you going to do with a lamb that comes onto the ark and a lion? What are you going to do with those two animals? I mean, we let our dog out, and there's a rabbit that seems to habitate real close to the yard. And as soon as he sees the rabbit or he sees the squirrel, he is gone. I mean, he is after it. He's never caught one. I don't know whether he'd know what to do if he ever caught it or not. But you know how all of this different types of animals and personalities and instincts are reflected in regard to the ark is that it expresses the idea that the Spirit of God was over all. Guess what? So is the Spirit of God over all mankind. And you don't see that in regard to the earth a whole lot, but you are to see it in God's family. You are to see it in one body. And so this reflection is being completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Unity is revealed through behavior. It's revealed through behavior. I know that I'm talking to a lot of parents out here. You ever had the challenge between personalities of your children and the idea of getting along and the idea of training, the idea that this is not only your toy, it's a family toy, and you are to share it with your brother or sister? How does that go? Oftentimes it doesn't go so well, right? And yet the reflection here is the idea that unity that is revealed from heaven, between heaven and earth, is actually this attitude that is reflected in the idea of behavior. There are some givens, if you want to turn to Ephesians, there are some givens that the Apostle Paul just takes for granted. He doesn't really give you an option. He doesn't tell us of an option. He just says this: "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ." And what do we say with that? Amen. right? If any comfort from his love. And what do we say to that? The same thing. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He's not asking you whether that's true or not. He's telling us, and actually this form of the idea of inviting us into this relationship with Christ and into this relationship of this body, this family here at Glenpool. If there is any encouragement from being in Christ, if there is any comfort from his love, if there's any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He's just making that as a statement. And he's drawing us in. And what he says next is the idea that he's going to make an appeal to us. If all of those things are true, then be of the same mind, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Now, we really ought to dwell there a while. We ought to dwell there a while. Do you have the same spirit? Do we have the same mind? Do we have the same love toward one another? Now, we know the answer to that is we ought to. And typically what happens if we haven't quite arrived yet is that we demand that from other people, but not from us. But the reality is that Paul is saying all of these things are true. There's comfort from the love that we receive from Christ. And so we ought to be of the same mind, having the same love. My mother used to say when we were growing up, now, Mike, you need to forgive your sister and you need to say you're sorry. Guess how I said it? I'm sorry. She wasn't satisfied with that. She knew that there really ought to be an attitude behind that, which actually was, you know, sincere, right? It's supposed to be sincere somehow or another that says, I'm sorry. But I have to tell you that it takes a while at times. But the Apostle Paul is really saying, you know, all of this that God has given to us, this compassion, this comfort, this love, it ought to create in us this attitude that we are family. And sometimes family squabbles, sometimes family deals with issues with the idea of how we ought to have the right attitude and say the right thing and do the right thing. But Paul is actually making this charge. And he's saying, you do the right thing. You be of the same mind. Now, we're going to find out what that mind is here in just a minute. It's not the idea that we all agree, but it's the idea that we ought to have the mind of Christ. And sometimes that's hard. We ought to have the same love that God had for us in sending his Son to the cross in order that we might be forgiven in regard to our sins, in order that we might have a relationship with him. And you might notice it says being one in spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. It's a spirit of attitude within ourselves that's humble and gentle in regard to mind and patient with one another and of one mind. And so those givens that you find in verse 1 of chapter 2 is reflected here in chapter 2 where Paul makes this appeal to us to be of the same mind, having the same love. And notice where he goes with that. Notice where he goes with that. He doesn't tell us the idea of the doctrinal things that sit with this. He tells us really of the proper attitudes that have. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. Can I tell you that I want to belong to a body, a family of God that is like that? And I just automatically know that we are striving for that. I know that Glenpool is striving for that family. To be that type of family, to have those type of attitudes, that type of disposition, that anybody can come into this assembly, into this family, join this family, whether it's potluck meals or VBS or whatever it is, to have this attitude that I care about you and you care about me. And we can work through anything if we have Christ's attitude. If we carry that and are reminded of what we have received from the Lord. And so here's the given that really cares about the idea of the proper attitudes that come from that. And then it's interesting where Paul goes here in Philippians chapter 2. And he says, we are to have the same mindset as Jesus. And so when you go through verses 5 and through verse 11, he says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. I want to capsulize that somehow or another. And how are we to be like Christ? How are we to live our lives in His presence like that? And He starts out by not considering our own advantage. This world considers its own advantage. That's just the truth. It's just there. I mean, we butt up against it all the time. But not for the Christian. Not if we have the mind of Christ. We do it by being a servant to others. We do it by living in humble obedience to God's word and to His commands. Not just in the doctrinal instruction teaching, but in regard to our dispositions, in regard to the way that we live our lives. We live in humble obedience, even obedience unto death. And if I read a little bit farther, we would have talked about grumbling and arguing or complaining. Now, Mike, you're going to start meddling when you talk about the idea of grumbling and complaining, right? With everything that God has given to us, Why is it that we grumble and complain? You know, sometimes when you're in the midst of the fire, it's hard to think about the idea of Jesus Christ. But if somehow or another we would stop and consider and think about the idea that we are children of God, we are blessed by Him, and we are called to live like Jesus Christ, maybe we can place ourselves in check. And maybe even as we consider those things, we can understand the relationship that God has called us to. The result then that you find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 is, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." The unity of heaven, the God who resides in heaven, the God who loves all of mankind, is now reflected not only through Jesus Christ, but brothers and sisters, He ought to be reflected through us. The way that we live together. And remember, the unity is already given. We are to keep. We are to maintain that unity that God has brought through Jesus Christ into this world. And where is it? It is to be in this body. It is to be in His body throughout the world as a reflection of heaven, and a reminder of the unity that exists between heaven and earth. I want to close this with this passage that comes out of Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. And it's interesting how the Apostle Paul gave the thought in Ephesians, he gave it in Philippians, and now he gives it in Colossians. Listen as I read this. "And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved," separated, right? "Holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." The God of love sent forth His Son into the world in order that He might save us, but also that He might change us. That we might become this type of people. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Can I tell you that love can bring about peace? I can give you example after example of the idea of people letting go of all the baggage, letting go of all the hurt, letting go of all the habits that destroy them, and all the bitterness and anger that just consumes us. Love is what brings about peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I don't know that we realize it, but there's a tremendous blessing in singing together. A blessing of being reminded of what God has done for us, being reminded of the relationship that we have together with each other. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. God has done an amazing thing because He has brought heaven down to earth. And it did not just happen through Jesus Christ. It is still happening. And we ought to realize that. We're a part of that. We're a part of God's continued witness of unity in this world between heaven and Glenpool, Oklahoma. Or wherever you go. Wherever you go. Wherever you go, consider this. You take heaven with you. This world needs some light. It needs some stars shining in the darkness. And brothers and sisters, it can shine in here on Sunday morning, but it needs to go out there all the rest of the week. Our attitudes, our actions should reflect God's love. Churches of Christ have a tradition, typically, of the idea of offering an invitation at the end of the lesson. So I want to do that. I want to offer you the invitation for you to come to Jesus Christ to receive forgiveness of your sins, to get rid of all the baggage, to get rid of all the hurt, to get rid of all those things that are plaguing you that you know you have done wrong or you've hurt somebody else. You can let go of this morning. And there's a family here to help you walk through this journey of life until God transforms us into being the people that He desires us to be. There's no way to make all the wrongs right, except for just to let it go and to let God have it and let Him deal with it and let God love us and let the body love us. And to help us to live our lives for Jesus Christ. We're going to sing this invitation song. If you need to come in any way, if you desire prayers over something that's happened in your life, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.